Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM.
A warm welcome to the second hour of the show and the final one, of course. It is Friday and like I told you, it's the very last installment of Empowerment Conversations and mostly driven by men. I think the first guest that I got to interview is actually a lady, very relevant, I must say. But closing it off today, we are closing it with a gentleman. And I think for me personally, what we're discussing today is a crucial aspect of a person's life, especially a man's life. Now, I've got Pastor Joshua Mtanyelo with me in studio. Good afternoon and welcome, welcome, Pastor Josh.
Good afternoon, good. Thank you so much and afternoon to your listeners. It's really a pleasure for me to be here.
It's great to have you with me as well, yeah. I must say. It's such a hectic day for you.
I know.
I can see as you walked in here. It's hectic, but thank you for having made it this side.
Yeah.
I have to embarrass Pastor Josh a bit. So Pastor Josh was busy on an assignment, like I said today. He was busy with work and his phone died. So he thought, the best way, let me just come to studio.
Yep.
And I'm so glad because then I get to have a personal conversation with you as you sit there. So Pastor Josh, we're still talking Empowerment Summit tomorrow.
You are.
It's here.
I can't wait to see those 4,000 men showing up at Mosaic Theater.
4,000?
4,000 men.
Oh, my Lord.
I know it's a drop in an ocean, you know. So
4,000 is a lot for men because men don't find it easy to open themselves up to these type of things.
Yeah.
So it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. We're looking for, next time we're looking for a stadium where we can come as men.
Definitely. Yeah, a whole imbizo for
men. A whole imbizo so that we turn the tide, you know, you know, of men. Because, you know, when we started Empowerment in 2019, there was that narrative that men are a trash. You know, anything you affirm it to be, it becomes that.
Of course.
You know, so you affirm men to be trash, they become trash.
And it looked as if, you know, things were just going haywire because that's what we were speaking into being.
Yeah. But now we said, we can't just sit back and says, let's allow the narrative to continue. And it can continue and allow this to happen and men continue to hurt other people. And
exactly.
Says, but here's an interesting thing. Do you know what, in South Africa in a day, 76 people are murdered. And of 76, 56 of those are men.
Sure.
And mostly killed by men.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, it's no longer a gender issue. It's a pandemic issue. Something needs to be done. That's why hence empowerment to say, let's redefine masculinity. Yeah, because I know that men are in the crossroad. Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, because you remember you are known as a man that provides, that protects. But now here's the thing. If my wife earns more than me, does that make me less of a man because now I can't prevent? You know, if my wife works as a police officer and there are thugs that comes in her house at night,
does that mean she has to be the one protecting the household?
If she has a gun, she will protect
of
us.
Course.
That makes me a less of a man. That
of course,
my wife. No, it's not. But one thing that maybe we need to, as a start that we need to talk about is that we're all human beings before we are
gendered.
Because
these gender roles.
Because these gender roles are man-made, you know. That,
of course.
You think about it. It says, they say women, the place of a woman is in the kitchen. Who are the best chef in hotels?
It's men. It's men, guys.
Yeah.
It's
so
men.
So why don't when we come home we tend, even you go to rural areas, if they're gunemicimbi and everything, it is men that cooks the meat.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
and the crowd.
Yeah, it is men that cooks the meat. But what is this confusion all about? But we just thought it's important that we speak to the hearts of men. Because I biblically, I see men as the firstborns of God.
Okay.
Yeah, but if they are messed up, it means that the whole thing is messed up. You know, they said man is a head, but a man without a head, he becomes a headache.
Headache. Do you know, you're saying this, and just today I was actually going through that in my mind. To say, what was that saying, by the way?
Yeah.
Men without a head is a headache.
Yeah. And that's the truth, because no one speaks to his life. No one speaks to his heart. He needs somebody that will rule over him. You can't You see, the mafia law says you can't give what you don't have.
Mm.
If you can't follow somebody, why should you want people to follow you?
Exactly.
You know. I think the greatest leadership of all is when you can lead yourself.
Is being able to lead yourself.
If you lead yourself, then you can transport that to other people. Mm. Then you can sell it to other people. But if it's not working for you, why should it work for other people?
Exactly.
Why should other people follow you? So as empowerment, we just want to empower men and says to men, let's talk about your family.
Mm.
Let's talk about the future of a boy child. Mm. Let's talk about your health. Have you realized that men, when you see a man in hospital, it means he went to hospital because
he had no other choice.
He had no other. We self-medicate.
That's true. Anyway, Pastor Josh, you're dealing with the spiritual aspect, you know, tomorrow.
Mm.
Tell me, when did spirituality first become significant to you as a man? And what sparked that interest?
This is very interesting. My great-great-grandfather, he was the first convert of the Methodist missionaries in Mpumalanga, in Bushwick. So my great-grandfather built a lot of churches and schools.
Oh.
And he was doing that without a car. He would fetch amazenge from Maputo and bring them to Bushburg to build a school or to build a church.
Sure.
You know, and with a group of men and all those things. So I think my first spirituality was being exposed to him because he was that leader he met of this church. And when I look at him, because every time...
Was he still alive when you were born?
Yes, wow. He was still alive. He died when he was 110 when he passed on.
Yeah, the Lord preserved his life.
And he's got very amazing stories about him raising his son from the dead. You know, even witches will come to him and says, "We've tried you, but we couldn't get you." Sometimes when you come to a house, we find there's no house. Sometimes we find there's fire, you know, because he was that man that depended on prayer. So my first spirituality was when we visited him. Every time we would pray in the morning, we pray during the day, we pray in the evening. So my first spirituality was that. But then I continued to be in the church. I remember when I became a teenager, I rebelled from the church, you know.
Mm.
And when I...
Like a typical child who's grown up in a spiritual home.
Yeah, I rebelled, but this seed, it's...
Once it's planted...
It's an incorruptible seed, you know, it's an incorruptible seed. So when I turned 17, I gave my life back to the Lord.
Mm.
And from that time, now it's 37 years since I gave my life to the Lord. And he transformed my life. Then I responded to the calling and I continued. And my biggest call is to go to men, is to speak to men, is to speak to men and boys. So that's where my spirituality started, basically.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how do you personally define spirituality, and do you see it as separate from religion, or do the two overlap for you?
Somehow they overlap.
Okay,
first let's say what is religion. Religion is man-made thing.
It's a system.
It's a system that we create trying to reach out to God.
Okay.
Or try to organize the people of God. Mm. But sometimes the problem is that we ended up worshiping the organization.
Okay.
Than God himself. Mm. Yeah, because we organize things. You need to pray this time. And you need to read this time. You need to do this. We end up worshiping that. I didn't pray this time. You feel guilt about it.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't read the Bible this time. You feel guilt about it.
Mm. You condemn yourself.
You condemn yourself. But spirituality, it is that connection.
The relationship.
That relationship with your Heavenly Father.
Mm.
You know, for instance, let me make an example. My child, when he comes to me, he does not need to behave in a certain way. They come like that. They come and jump on me. My grandchild come and sit at me, you know. But I'm just saying, sometimes religion makes you to have a particular posture when you come to your Heavenly Father. And we miss it. Remember Christ says, you earthly fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your children. You know, if you ask for a bread, you don't give them a stone. If you ask for a fish, don't give them a steak. Then there's this,
how much more?
This killer statement says, how much more is my Father? So this how much more, he needs men to come to him, to connect to him, even without religion. Remember, during Corona, all religious activities were stopped. But the relationship with God never stopped.
Mm.
So it means it did not need a building to exist or a system to exist. but you with God. So for me, spirituality, it's that continuous relationship without laws, that love relationship with. Remember when Jesus met Peter after he had denied him 3 times, he didn't ask him, which church are you going with? First question that he asked him, a relational question: do you love me? Do you love? But most of them will ask the question: are you gifted? Are you gifted? Are you moneyed?
Which church do you go to?
What class do you belong to? But Jesus never asked that question. He asked a pointed question: do you love me? Not once, but 3 times. Remember, Peter fell 3 times, but he was restored in love 3 times. So that's the question that we need to: is that love relationship, that relationship that we have with our Father?
So how has your spiritual journey shaped your understanding of what it means to be a man?
For me, being a man, remember, there's a verse, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where it talks about love. When it goes down, it says, when I was a child, I used to think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, there's a very interesting part. It says, I threw away childish things.
Okay.
Yeah. In other words, you when you become a man, and what is to become a man? To become a man is from verse 4 downwards.
Okay.
Love is kind. Love, it has long suffering. That's becoming a man. Because, for instance, if long suffering, let me give an example about long suffering. If you take a kettle and put water and put fire underneath and it refuses to boil, that's long suffering.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, so to men, whoever angers you controls you. So it means you're lacking the love. So when you become a man, you become that man of long suffering, but also you become that man of kindness.
You
become kind. You know, for instance, maybe I want to say to my wife stupid, and I choose not to use the word stupid. I choose the word you don't understand. That's kindness. When a person deserves to be called a particular name, but he chooses not to use that name. You know, remember when that lady, people wanted to stone her, and they said she has done bad things. Jesus says, "We without a sin, let him throw the first stone." And they left one by one. And when he turned and looked at this lady, he says, "Daughter." Daughter,
he doesn't call her harlot.
No, that's a conditional name, harlot. That's a behavioral name, harlot. But there is an eternal name, daughter.
Okay,
go sin no more. You know, I think when you become a man, you begin to see people not by their behavioral names, but you begin to see them by their eternal name,
their destiny,
by their destiny name. That's becoming a man. But it says also you don't keep the record of wrongs. That's when you become a man. So for me, spirituality, it's
how shape that man.
Yeah, that man. So spirituality is love. It's those attributes of love. That's spirituality. That's what makes a man. That's what Paul, because basically what Paul is talking about. Remember that in chapter 11, he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit and tongues and prophecy. But he says the more the one that is more powerful is love. Yeah, but he says when you're still looking at the gifts, you are a child.
Yeah,
but when you transform from just gifts, because there are people who are gifted but they're doing it without love. They can heal people, they're doing it without love. They can prophesy you, they're doing it without love. You know, they can give you a word of wisdom, but they're without love. But when you get to the space where you become a man of love, that's where man would come. That's where spirituality begins to shape you as a man. But here's the thing. You can't do that without God.
Amen.
A fish cannot live without water, nor a tree live without the soil. So man, I must say, man cannot exist and live without God. If you try it, you try it always, you can't make it. You need to connect to the source of love. You know, I have a problem with people who says, for instance, when they have sex, says, "You are making love." You know, you can't make love. No, I can't make love. God is love. How do you make
Okay.
you can't. You have reduced the word love to sex. You know. But it's beyond that. Is this loving God that loves us unconditional, that embraces us unconditional? The God says, "Come as you are." You know, the God says, I will embrace you as a man. Mm. Come with all your scars. Come with all your wounds as a man. Mm. I want to heal you because this world, your family is waiting for you. Mm. The community is waiting for you. You see, the problem with unhealed men because of their past, they hurt other people. So unfortunately, men suffer in silence because of this toxic masculinity. When you tell to men, cowboys, they don't cry. Do not cry. No. Hold it on. You're a man. You know, sometimes those things, when they come out,
damages them.
I'm telling you, many men are broken.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah. Now, in what ways will empowerment help men connect with qualities like empathy, vulnerability, or even compassion?
Wow. I think in our summit, one of the things that we encourage to men is say, this is a safe space. You can be you. You can cry. You can open up. You can tell us your pain. It ends up here. And it makes men to open up, but knowing that, oh, there's another man who cares about me. But also, we speak about to say to men, you don't have always to be aggressive. But you can also be loving. You know, you can be also be kind before giving. It goes back to the issue of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Those attributes of love. So that as men, because for me, it is impossible to exhibit all these attributes without the owner of the attributes. You need to connect to the source. But then we tell men, because sometimes when you use the word vulnerability, men, they don't like the word vulnerability. Sometimes we use the word openness.
So okay.
Yeah, be open, you know. Because for me, you see, pride is the unwillingness to be known who you are. But humbleness is the willingness to be known who you are. To say, this is where I am in life. I don't need to pretend as if I have a car and I keep on hiring cars so that people will think I have a car. You know, I buy expensive. Because some people, it's good to have expensive things, but you must not hide the little boy inside of you who stop growing when you're 14, when you're hurt and you never grown. It's only your body that is growing and now using money and power and fame just to show people how big you are. But I must say, you need to get to a point, is this space where he says, I can't do this again.
I need to be me. I need to live within myself.
Yeah. Actually, there's a song by The Temptation. It says, I've been to Georgia, I've been to all this place, but I've never been to me.
Sure.
How many men have never been to themselves? And you leave out. You know, one of the things that sometimes I have a problem with organized religion is when we tell people when they come to church that dress, because you're coming before the king, dress up. It gets expensive for men to go to church. Men feel, I can't go to church because I need to dress up.
Be in a three-piece suit.
Three-piece suit. And, you know, so sometimes I call our religious structures, I call them a theater of hypocrites. No matter how broken you are, but when you get to that space, you must look happy. Even if you fight with your wife, when you get to that space, you must look peaceful.
Yet it would be so wise to get you in your vulnerable state.
Exactly. You know, you can't be taking a car to a car wash.
And it's clean.
Or take it to where they need to fix it. And when you're about to get there, you find that it's smoking. Then you take a cloth and close the exhaust so that it does not smoke. Why are you hiding it?
Yeah. You know, because that's what you've brought to the mechanic.
Yeah. Actually, that's what we need to write in our churches. Come as you are. No perfect people allowed, but don't live as you are.
No perfect people are
allowed. Yes.
Yeah.
Because you come into the garage where you'll be fixed. Come into the garage where you'll be loved. Come into a garage where you'll be accepted. But come into a garage where you'll be corrected. Come into a garage where they will give you more mileage. Where you'll be empowered so that you can be able to face the world. Because the world outside there, it's horrible.
It's true.
But you can't be facing a horrible world outside there, and you come to a space where we're thinking you need to be safe, you need to be a non-judgmental space, but you find that you can't be yourself, you know.
Exactly.
So it becomes very problematic.
True.
Yeah.
So tell me, Pastor Josh, how does spirituality influence your everyday life, that is your work, your relationships, or even your health?
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much. What a question. But let me say this. A lot of people, they think spirituality must end up only in a religious house. But spirituality is me.
I am
a spirit man.
Okay.
Yeah. Whether I go to my family, I'm a spiritual man. I live in this house. Mm. You know, I go to work, I am a spirit man.
Mm. You don't leave it when you leave home or when you leave the church doors.
Yeah, I can't compartmentalize my spirituality. Mm. It's me. Mm. It's me. It's me. Mm. And we fail to recognize that, man, you are a spirit and it lives in the body. You know.
True.
So don't be fooled by thinking, okay, Sunday. You know, sometimes we even say Sunday. This is the day that the Lord has made. What about Monday, Tuesday,
all
Wednesday?
All the other days.
Yeah, all the other days. You know, so we're thinking spirituality happens in a particular place. No, God exists everywhere. You know, at work. That's why even the Bible says, work as unto the Lord. You know, in other words, when I get into a particular space, you know, this verse that says you are the salt of the earth, and that salt is not a culinary salt, it's an agricultural salt.
Okay,
it means when you come to a space, in that space things need to grow. You know, things need to blossom because you are there. So our spirituality must be seen when we help people to multiply, to grow, we help people to become what God wants them to be. And it can't be in the church only. It can't be on the pulpit only. Because I only spend only 1 hour at the pulpit.
Yeah.
And more hours with people.
With everybody.
Yeah, without a pulpit. You know, and I become me. Who's me outside of the pulpit? You know. So for me, my spirituality is not limited to church or to a place of worship, but my spirituality goes wherever I am. That's me and my God.
I love that. So tell me, do you feel that spirituality helps you connect with people on a deeper level?
I think so. You know one other thing I always tell my friends, it says, you see, when you meet a person, you must give them value. But you can't give them value if you don't have a value.
Of course.
So when I see a person, I always ask the right question. What do you want to do? What do you want to become? You know, but as I relate with people and I begin to speak into their life and we talk, it's because there's water that is flowing inside of me.
Of course.
That I'm able to give to other people. There's this cup that is overflowing. So when I meet people, I'm able to say the right things. And when I meet people, I'm able to lift them up. You know, when you're empty, you want to put other people down because it makes you feel good. But when you are overflowing, I'm telling you, you're ready to give it to somebody
else. I love the sound of that. Now, tell me, Pastor Josh, do you think that men today are given enough space to explore spirituality openly without any judgment?
I don't think so. Actually, there's a course that I crafted with Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. It's entitled "Why Men Are Not in the Church." You know, why men are not in that space where they can be encouraged spiritually. I've realized that somehow the church is more feminine than masculine in many ways than one. You know,
okay.
Yeah. Like for instance, if a boy is raised by a single parent, which is would be his mom, and he goes to school in primary school, most of the teachers are female, and he goes to church in the children's ministry,
it's ladies.
It's ladies who are doing that. In the praise and worship team,
it's three guys and 10 ladies.
I think you are kind when it says three. It's one guy. Or no guy at all. So sometimes when men come into that space, they can't connect. You know, there's one big religious church in South Africa. It has more men, because if you look at them, they focus on the men.
Okay.
And they tell the man to focus on his family.
Oh wow.
It's one of the biggest religious, so I will not gonna mention their name.
Okay.
You know, because their focus, actually, when you come to their church, they call you Omuhulu. Even if your family does not see you big, but
you become big.
Yeah, when you get to church, they says Omuhulu, you are big.
I think I know it.
Yeah. That's why.
I've never thought of it that way, but now that you're speaking, I think I know it.
When you think of that church, can you don't think
I've
feminine.
Seen a lot of men.
Yeah, because it's positioned as a masculine church. You look at how Jesus invited men to follow him. He did not take a loudspeaker. You don't use a loudspeaker to call men. You need to go where they are. You need to go. Christ went where the fishermen were and called them. Went where the taxman was and called them. He went where the politicians were and call them. When we're the business, you see, so the problem with the church, we're losing a loud hailer to call men. But we need to have craft a special message to them. Look, he says, if you want to follow me, take up your cross.
And follow
me. And do you know what is the meaning of this? If you want to follow me, be prepared to die. And there was this guy who went to sail to the Antarctic. And he put up an ad. It says, I want men who wants to make history. I want men who will be prepared to lose their life. I want men who want to make something significant in their life to follow. Do you know that he wanted only 60 men? He ended up with about 2,000 men who signed up to do that. Because you when the message to men, it should be the one that is charging them. I normally say to many pastors, never beg men to do something. Challenge them.
True. They're always up for a challenge.
Yeah, challenge them. Change the begging into a challenge.
Change your tone.
Change your...
It's the tone that they don't want.
Yeah, it's the tone. When you beg them, feel that they're little boys. Yeah. But as men, you just need to challenge them. And says, I know, guys, you can do this. I'm giving to you. This is your project. You will see fire. You'll see what you do. No, but if you clap them and you're using one message to everyone, you're not going to reach men.
Wow, I love that. So what advice would you give men who are hesitant to start their spiritual journey but feel a need for something greater in their lives?
I'll say, you see, if you miss out on your spiritual journey, you'll continue to exist but never live. You see, men without their spirit being ignited, they have what you call prolonged existence. But when you connect to the source of all life. It says it came that we may have life.
And have it in abundance.
But it starts with him. Because when your inner man is connected, let me tell you something. When your inner man is in the right space, things listen to you.
Come on.
Yeah, fishes listen to you. The birds of the air listen to you. The beasts of the wild listen to you. But first, You need that man to be in the right space. You need that man to connect to God so that you'll have peace. You'll have joy. You'll have sense of kindness. You'll have love. It will come naturally because you are connected to the source.
Wow. Yeah. How can men then register to attend and what are the event details?
Yeah. So I will tell men, you know now, they can register at empowerment.co.za. But if you're not registered, you can still come tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
First come, first serve.
All right. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm planning to invite someone and hopefully he'll agree.
No. He must come. He must come. All men are leading to Mosaic Theater in Rietbank. So we're starting at 7 in the morning. So we register there. So we're calling all men to come. Bring your friend. Actually, a man, if you bring about 200 men on the event, we're going to give the organization of your choice, which deals with men issues, 10,000 rand. And we're going to give you 5,000 rand for your work that you've done just to bring about 200 men.
Come on.
Yes, that's...
Imagine. No, you guys should have said this earlier.
It's a challenge to men. We're giving men challenge. It's a men challenge. You're going to how can I get 200? Look at your phone book.
Look
at the phone
and
book.
You've got social media spaces as well. So
actually, if you can go to empowerment.co.za, you can get even promotional material, which you can send to your friends and everything. If you bring 200 men,
five grand in your pockets.
Just in the middle of the month, and the organization of a church which deal with men's issues get 10,000 rand.
Wow.
And we're all doing this because we want to say to men, come, let's talk.
I love that.
Yeah, come, let's fix one another. An iron sharpens an iron.
Come on.
Come, let's bandage each other. It's been long that we've been having this wound. And this wound is making you to change relationship from one to another. It makes you to hurt other people. So come, let's talk, you know. So, yeah, we'll be tomorrow, 7 o'clock. Please, don't miss it. Don't miss
7 a.m.
7 a.m. in the morning.
Okay.
Yeah, we're registering. 8 o'clock, we're starting. And we have great speakers like Dr. John Kani.
Yes.
Yeah,
It's a challenge. 7 a.m. is a couple of hours from now, guys. Can you hear this? And you have to bring 200 men. You get 5,000 rand. And you get to give... That's the part I like about it. This is not just about yourself.
Yeah.
But you can give an organization that deals with men 10,000 rand.
Wow, becoming Father Christmas before Christmas.
I really wish this was said earlier on. I was going to contact Men on a Mission in the Eastern Cape. Men on a Mission, did you hear this?
Get into the buses. Exactly. Come here.
Exactly. But thank you so much, Pastor Josh. Thanks for the great work you're doing for men. It's really, really a need in our society for men to be equipped. You know, as I was chatting to you earlier on, you were telling me about how difficult it even is to secure sponsors for events that pertain to men.
Wow.
And for me, it's quite sad because we want, I mean, what is the point or the use of us equipping women, bettering women? Who have to deal with men that are unequipped.
Yeah, a broken man.
So why don't we bring them to a certain level where we are able to meet? Because you correct me and you're done with me how to face a man, but this man is not equipped to deal with me.
Yeah, it's unfortunate we see each other as enemies.
We're always rivals for no reason.
No, we need to coexist. We are people of the kingdom. And let me say this. You know, if we don't help a boy child now, we'll mend him later.
If we don't help a boy child now, we'll mend him later.
Yeah. Preparation is better than repairing. So we'll try to repair him with prison, go to rehabilitation centers. It is now, because we'll also be having about 600 boys that will be there in the conference, because we realize we can't do it with that. Because manhood is not taught, but it's caught.
It's caught.
Yeah.
Sure. Thank you so much.
And it's a pleasure.
God
thank
bless
you.
All the best for tomorrow.
Please go rest. Yeah, I'm going. I look tired. Eh?
Yes, tomorrow is another day and you need to have all the strength.
Thank you so much, Uriel. May God bless you. Enlarge your territories. May He keep His hand upon you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Josh. It's a great way to end this Empowerment Conversation Summit with a person in flesh in studio. So thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you too. Thank you so much.
Be doers of the word with 657 AM. Sounds of Life.
You can now listen to Radio Pulpit from Silbay to Sandfontein to Sydney. Listen live to Radio Pulpit on radiopulpit.co.za, DStv 882 and OpenView 607. Also follow us on our social media, download our app and listen to our podcasts wherever you are. Radio Pulpit, your Christian alternative at your fingertips.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.